Mr. Fleming had the Ecclesiastes going through the times, time for this and time for that, as he started off the sermon to give us that foundation to begin with. And today I want to start with the foundation in the book of Judges. That's where I want to start here, Judges chapter 1. And in verse 1, this is where we find an account of the children of Israel after the death of Joshua. It's a history of what went on back then, and the book of Judges is. But now it says here in Judges 1:1, it says, "Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall go up for us, that is, against the Canaanites, first to fight against them?" Well, the children of Israel was to maintain a high spiritual standard laid down by God, that it was through Moses and then passing on to Joshua. Well, they not only failed, that is, to conquer the land of Canaan, as God had challenged them right off the bat here in Judges to do, but they also descended into idolatry and sinful practices of the Canaanites' moral degeneration. But God availed himself to teach Israel through this period of time that his rest was fully available and provided for by himself. But most be entered into by the obedience of the people. And as you can see, we're going to find out that they didn't obey, didn't follow through the instructions God laid down for them. Here in chapter 2 of Judges, we're right there next to those pages there. In Judges 2, and in verse 1 and 2, it says, that's Judges 2, 1 and 2. "Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt, and I brought you to the land which I swore unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. And you shall tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed, that is, my voice. Why have you done this?" So you can see God was on top of this, what was going on. Well, alert of it, aware of it. But this book of Judges records a history of the nation of Israel for 305 years after the death of Joshua. That's a very important book because it's going to find, as we go through the sermon here, how much it blends in with things that are going on today. And we're going to see how that is. But it was during this time that Israel declined. They started backsliding and moving away from God. You know, reading this section of Judges, we will see that many parallels, like I said, are between Israel's failures and America's failures today. And it's very sad to see that. And we've heard about all this is going to happen and so forth, but you and I are now living it, these end-time events. We are at end-time events. And that's important to keep at the front of our thinking every day that we are yet to bow our knees before God and pray and follow his instructions. So reading this section of Judges, we're going to see why many of the Israelites failed. And we're going to find out also why we are reading in our news every day how America failed right along the same pathway. But this house of Israel was established by God himself, and God gave himself to Israel. You know, that he also gave them us, the law, the Ten Commandments, and the covenant. So he gave them Canaan, that is the best land. We're talking about now, talking about Judges here and those at that time of history. He gave them Canaan, the best land of the earth at that time. Adding that up, we find that God the Father gave them the Lord, his law, and the land. So God only asked them for three things in return. And those three things in return were that they would love him, obey Him, and serve Him. So what did Israel do? They ignored what the Lord told them to do. They refused the law that was given to them. They denied the land, so God had to judge them. And this is what you and I know, as we know as much as we do from Scripture and having God's Holy Spirit, we're finding our land starting to be judged. So judging parallels here with America is obviously an alarming, and that's why we need to be aware of it and why I'm trying to bring some of this to our attention. I've brought them to our attention before, as the other speakers here have done as well. And as long as we've been all in the God's church, we've had sermons such as this being keeping us in tune with God, because it's important, those instructions from Genesis to Revelation, for us to be in tune with in our thinking 24 hours a day. Well, no nation during our lifetime has ever had a Anglo-Saxon Judeo-Christian beginning. You know, like the United States of America that you and I live in today. We, like those early Israelites, have been given the Lord Jesus the Christ, His laws, and the fruitful land. But now America is tarnishing God's blessings, denying Him and defiling Him. In the press conference of recent here, in April the 13th, Governor Cuomo of New York delivered a statement that drew an eye-opening account about this coronavirus 19. This Governor Cuomo asserted that the number is down because we brought the numbers down. God did not do that. Fate did not do that. Destiny did not do that. And surfing did not do that. Well, after that statement, God did not do that, Cuomo offered that assessment on a Monday, right after the greetings, everyone in the room, by acknowledging Easter Sunday and Passover. So you would think that the Governor Cuomo, above all, would be grateful, especially or at least in part, in the possibility of God's mercy. You know, Psalms 53:1, God tells us, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, except are they, corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquities, there is none that do good. You know, it is for this reason that our Lord of Lords tells us in Deuteronomy 28, one of the blessings and cursing chapters, in Deuteronomy 28 and in verse 21 and 22, you might want to turn there and read that with me, as I've been encouraging all of us pretty often here lately to start looking at some of these verses, because we are seeing these things happening and we're living to be a part of, with them as they are happening. Here in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 21, it says, the Lord shall make the pestilence, that is a plague, cleave unto you until he have consumed you from the off the land, whether you go to possess it. And the Lord shall smite you with a consumption, that is an economic consumption, a disease, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning. And I would say that that would be an extreme fever that we know is one of the complaints about having this coronavirus 19. Over in Leviticus 26, another blessing and cursing chapter there on verse 18, is added to what I just read. And after all these, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I think a lot of people are skipping over that important statement because if they don't straighten out what's right the first, seven times more is going to follow. And that is something that I don't think any one of us want to have happen to us. So we do want to follow God's word. You know, our daily news reports, that is our Lord and God, is slowly but steadily being expelled from every public venue. I'm amazed at how blatantly obvious it's getting to be, just right out in the open, not trying to hide it or trying to scapegoat it in some way, but it's being bragged about. They do not love God. They do not want God in their life, in their teachings. You know, it started here back in the public schools and has spread to the public places like our states, our courts, houses, and are saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And on, that is to the point where today we are fighting battles about what we can even say in our churches. So it's no longer just about the separation of church and state, but rather the separation of America from God, who founded her and who has so blessed her. Counting our blessings, we can see that we have been truly blessed. Especially when we look at the world the way it is being operated today, it is in a chaotic mess. But the Supreme Court has been saying that it is against the law to display the Ten Commandments, that is, in a public place, even though the buildings up there in Washington, D.C. Display them. They're carved right into the buildings. It isn't something like you can just paint over it, but it's in depth 3D right into the buildings. You know, their reasoning is that if you display them, people might ponder them, and if so, they might obey them. And that would be a violation of the separation of church and state, as they would label it. So we're doing just what Israel did during the days of Judges. It's now the official possession of our government that the Ten Commandments are dangerous. Wow. Our Ten Commandments are dangerous. You know, we sure don't want our kids or in school to see you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. In other words, stop lying. Well, because if we did, they might obey them. Today, they want to outlaw school homeschooling because parents might teach their children about God and his peaceful living ways, that we are being blessed and called to have that peaceful living ways and be showing the right example of that in our own lives right here today. You know, America, once called the Anglo-Saxon Judeo-Christian nation, is now going in a foolish direction and contrary to basic common sense. So do we not force our beliefs on everyone? We try not to force, but we know God's Holy Spirit working with a person will bring him to the light of his truth. But we have allowed Satan's world to chip away at our core of morality. Like the children of Israel in the past, Israel is again denying the Lord, denying his laws, denying his statutes and his government. America is polluting its God-given authority that God has blessed this country to have. So Governor Cuomo of New York said God has done nothing to stop the coronavirus 19. But the converts, the conservatives, in New York are calling on to people to pray because they know that God is why God is being silent. Want to know why God is being silent? We're not hearing him. They're not hearing him. They know that we are doing this to ourselves in many ways. That's those who are thinking conservative. They understand a lot more than what those who are in a liberal, democratic attitude of heart and mind. They're lost. And they have so much hate in their heart. And it just can't deny the fruits of Satan is there. You know, they know that we are doing this to ourselves in many ways. But perhaps the number one way is found in the spilled blood of millions of aborted babies. You know, today it's okay to keep abortion going, but close church gatherings because, oh, we don't want to have anything happen there. So God is taking away his glory, from that is from the house of Israel, while they are doing such things. He is in the process of removing himself from all of the good old USA that we, you and I, live in today. You know, there needs to be more of a national days of on our knees praying for God and his kingdom to come. You know, praying for a stronger moral, spiritual repentance in all of our hearts and minds. Like America did last Friday, a week ago from last yesterday, on they had that National Day, that prayer that they had. You know, Ronald Reagan had a favorite quote from Abraham Lincoln that he said, "I'm often driven to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I have nowhere else to go." A lot is said in that little sentence. Now, quoting God here in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7, you might want to go over there with me in 2 Chronicles. We're going to look in chapter 7. And I want to read here verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. It says there, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." You know, if we draw breath, we are never without hope. It is never too late to call upon God, asking for mercy, that is, on our nation, and to heal our land. To do nothing is not an option. I think that that is something to think about as we ponder that. You know, I don't know what it's going to take. If 9/11 and now coronavirus 19 is not enough, what will be enough for this nation to drop to their knees? Well, the book of Judges here is recorded God's raising of 13 men to deliver Israel from backsliding in order to bring about a national restoration. So it's 13 different men to stories in there that someday, when you've got time to go through them and learn from them. But studying these 13 men God used, we find that when a family becomes rich, there are three stages which seems to always occur. The first generation generates the fortune. The second generation speculates with their fortune. And the third generation squanders the fortune, and it is gone through the series of compromises and foolish decisions. You know, at present, we read news of trillions of dollars are being added to our national debt. Well, with that, knowing that that is exactly what is happening, let's refresh our minds with some Israelites' history here that entered into the Promised Land. And under General Joshua, Israel was given by God victory over victory. You know, walls came crumbling down and kings were subdued. You know, they won victories. They never even could have, apart from having the power of God, dreamed of. But God was on their side. And that's just how it was with America. You know, we can go back in our first war, the Revolutionary War. Britain had more men, more money, better machinery. It was truly David and a Goliath scenario, but God was on America's side, and we won. They've been showing a lot of those kind of battles lately on the news. Patrick Henry gave the speech which sparked a revolution in 1775. There he said, "Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course you may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." So we could see it was game on, and we won that war. That's the kind of a strength that it takes to win wars. Well, today it's clear that people want their liberty and freedom back. You know, George Washington became our first president when he took office. He placed his hand on the Bible when he finished taking his oath. He kissed that Bible. His first official act was to lead the entire Congress in a two-hour worship session. How unusual that is, huh? I sure don't see that much going on today in our society. In one of Washington's inaugural addresses, he said, "No people can be bound to knowledge and to acknowledge and to adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States." Another powerful statement, recognizing there has to be a God that's doing this. They don't have the power and strength on man's hand to do that without God's help. Every step by which they had advanced in the character and the independence nation seems to have been distinguished by some token or providential agency. So they understood exactly that it was something that they couldn't see, nor touch, nor put their hands on was happening, because they didn't have the strength and the knowledge or the understanding to have winning battles that they went to war with to fight. So in plain English, he said, "It's good who got us there through far, and we had better not forget it." That was the strength of that inaugural address that Washington made. Well, our founding fathers made it abundantly clear that this land was founded on God and the Bible. If we've been studying any history at all during our life, you know, the Bible was the first and only book to be used in public schools for years. Too bad it isn't there today. You know, succeeding generations in America began to squander this blessing away. Remember Judges 2 and verse 1, that God said, "Look at all who I have done for you. I delivered you from slavery, fed you with manna, guided you into the promised land. Now look at you. Why have you done this?" Well, verse 7 tells us in Joshua's generation firsthand here the great works of God here in Judges 2 and in verse 7. Judges, back here in chapter 2 and in verse 7. "So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. They lived them, they seen them, they experienced them. Here in verse 10 relates a different story though. Dropping down a couple verses there below, in verse 10 it says, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. That's a very, very sad thing to read. This means that Joshua's generation also failed to pass their values onto their children, those values that God was giving them. This has happened to America since 1960, and look where we are at here today. Our children do not understand America's moral foundations and the spiritual principles upon which this nation was founded on. You know, our former president, Barack Hussein Obama, tried to rewrite history, remove God from our land, do away with the Declaration of Independence and we the people. Still trying to do that yet today. So repeating Judges 21, the most heartbroken verse there in the book of Judges, reads that every man did what was right in his own eyes. They become a people with no absolute and no understanding to live by. So is that not the nation you and I live in today? Judge's parallels with America is truly eye-opening. You know, Barna research shows that 67% of Americans say that there is no such thing as absolute truth. They say the right and wrong is not clear. What is wrong for you is not necessarily wrong for me. If that doesn't scare you, consider what the same survey found in some evangelical churches and what they found among Sunday morning attendings. 52% was surveyed and said the same thing. Sick. Imagine God called and chosen, saying there is no black or white or right or wrong. You know, Judges 2 reveals to us how Israel got to this same point. It was through a series of compromises. Judges 2 and verse 2, God had told them to drive the enemy out of the land. And further, not to have anything to do with them. But reading again here, Judges 2 and verse 2, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land, and you shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? You know, they were to separate themselves with idolatry, just as we are supposed to do today. You notice why Israel feared the Canaanites over here in Judges 1. And in verse 19, here in Judges 1 and verse 19, it says, so the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lower land, wherefore the Canaanites lived, because they had chariots of iron. Sounds like those 10 spies that we know and read many times in scriptures. But it shows there that they were afraid while knowing they could have trusted God and won. So I have to ask all of us, how strong are we? But they were afraid to try. You know, they said, these people are impregnable. We cannot conquer them. Therefore, we might as well learn to put up with them, surrender to them, and learn to live with them. exact opposite to what God told them to do. Opposite. So while watching in our voted in leaders in Washington, D.C., it looks like there are some Canaanites that the house of Israel is fearing in America today. Lindsey Graham comes to mind. You know, many of our leaders today, I want to consider our surrender in the war. That is the communism and liberalism. They're surrendering to that. And this new war with coronavirus 19, they say we are losing and we might as well quit trying to win. Sounds like fallacy. They say we need to sit down, that is with China, with Iran, Russia, and negotiate with these enemies and stop trying to police, protect the world. So recognizing another war, many politicians today are calling for to an end to, is war on drugs. They say that we have lost and so we should surrender and legalize it. If we legalize it, we can control it. That is, they say, yeah, sure, Just like we have full control over killing, right? You know, trying to control drugs by legalizing them is like trying to control a fire with gasoline. This marijuana law that they just passed federally, making it legal, is going to bite them you know where. You know, today we hear of many parents surrendering in the area of sexual promiscuity. They throw up their hands and say, well, you're not going to mind or be good, so just be careful. Wear some protection. Now, what message does that send to our young person? We who are older already know. You know, we are putting ambulances at the bottom of the cliff when we are supposed to be putting fences at the upper edge of the cliff. You know, it's time we get back to confronting our culture with the truth of God and His full word. It's also time for parents to tell their young children or young people, God wants you to be pure and chaste. He wants you to be a virgin when you get married. Not be passed around like a bottle of Gatorade in a football huddle. You know, too many have become afraid of the confrontation or are way too sensitive about how we might offend someone who has gone too far. But the question is, who shall I offend, man or God? That is a place where we have a choice. You know, the truth is offensive to this worldly, not to God's called. And why is that? John 8:32 reminds us, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So thinking of another thought here, the nation has become so politically correct about homosexuality that it has become wrong to say anything about it. You know, some people personally say they are against it, but should leave it as a personal decision. You know, that's the answer in our society today, in spite of what God says, and in spite of what always happens to a society when they go that route. You know, man gave them more than just equal status, but exalted status, special status. And that makes the rest of us to be discriminated status. but now in the United States of America is doing something else that is new. We are trying something never before considered in America, and that is mixing socialism, communism, and Islamism. In other words, syncretism, word we well know in the Church of God in Truth. We are ignoring the plight of other countries who have tried this very policy that I'm talking about here. You know, we're beginning to slide down a dead-end, one-way, no-U-turn path that leads from capitalism, upon which we were founded, to socialism and communism. This coronavirus 19 is causing the nation of America to become a nation with no wealth, no freedom, and no real reason to work for anything anymore. They want to just give a handout to all households. Sit at home, and we're going to pay you to sit and get bored to death and do nothing. You know, we're at the tail end of a speculation generation. We're at the treading in water that we've never been in before. And looking at it, it looks ugly. At least to me. You know, there were Canaanites that Israel feared, and Canaanites they favored. You know, they said in Judges 1 and verse 28, look, we can use these people. Here in Judges 1 and verse 28, and it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but did not completely drive them out. That's not what God said to do. So we find they made slaves of them in spite of the fact that God said not to have anything to do with them. So Israel pondered, sure, they are wicked, but there's some good that can come out of them. Again, I have to say, not obeying God's orders. Nothing good is going to come out of that. You're looking at another bad policy America is doing. America and our government is turning more and more to borrowing. Borrowing not just from banks, but from the world, especially China. And now, you know as well as I do, China owns us. How much of America is in their property hands? You know, we're borrowing from our children, that is the future generation, who will never be able to pay it back. We are further illustrating just how far we have come by, from the founding generation. Just like Israel, we are favoring the world's ways. You know, for the first time ever, looking back before President Trump, we have had a UN president of the world, Barack Hussein Obama, who apologizes for us to the world about calling ourselves a Judeo-Christian nation. He's a world citizen, a United Nations citizen, not an American citizen. We're finding out more and more about that in the next few coming months. So back to the Canaanites Israel feared here in Judges 1 and verse 32. Judges chapter 1 and verse 32. There it says, the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Why? Because these people, they felt, were not that bad. They may worship different God, but they are good neighbors. When continuing on to read this, we will find that Israel learned from their wicked ways, and Israel entered into their idolatry, including the abortion, like sacrificing their children to Moloch. You know, we are guilty today as they were about the murdering children in our abortion clinics. Another abomination we hear cries over is there nothing wrong with being gay? What they do is their business. No, God says they are an abomination, as well will be our downfall as a society. You know, if we tolerate it, we're begging for God's judgment. You know, he's done it before, and he'll do it again. You might just think of Sodom and Gomorrah, comes to mind. You know, their sin was the very last sin God would put up with there. The last sin. And that is a sin that we are saying it's okay to do here in the United States. Maybe we better start looking at the sky for things falling out of the heavens. Something we can't control. But God loves homosexuals, and so should we. You know, we love them, but by accepting their sin, but by confronting it with the truth. You know, love the sinner, but hate the sin. We've heard that many, many times. Love the sinner, but hate the sin. So the last verse here in Judges tells us, every man did what was right in his own eyes. So the parallel in the book of Judges are now different than today when we consider them. Judges 2 and in verse 3, we find Israel being chastened because of their disobedience. Judges 2 and in chapter, or in verse 3, it says, therefore also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you. Well, thinking of thorns and snares, can anyone say illegal immigration, Muslim ideology, terrorism, lying? Verse 4 says, and so it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voices and wept. They wept because God was saying, I now left my hand and protection off of you. We don't want that to happen to us, brethren. We just don't want that to happen to us. On 9/11, terrorists turned planes into missiles, and the next day, many religious leaders were saying, we'd better realize that God is removing his protection hand from this nation. The 9/11 was an attention grabber, opened up many eyes temporarily to see that our nation's sin of lying, allowing abortion and homosexuality, is wrong. You know, the liberal press absolutely tried to crucify any negative thought like that. It's clear thorns and snares are lurking everywhere in America. You know, being called and studying God's book of Judges, we realize that Judges describes the whole house of Israel's downfall. America is thought of as militarily the world leader. Today it's still a militarily strong. We're being told that. But today it's economically a disaster, thanks to coronavirus 19. Well, that's where we are today. Some say arrogantly, would I love God? Would a loving God allow these trials? Yes, if we ask for it, but no, obeying his commandments and laws. So there's often a question asked after the school shootings, where is our Lord? Why does God allow this to happen? America expelled him in 1962. when they threw out the Bible and prayer and said, "God, you are not welcome." Now that we are in a new generation, could this be the final generation in America? It sure comes across my mind all the time. End time events. Read Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. You know, it seems we are just one generation away from losing our country. But is there any hope? I'm going to tell you, yes. Where there's God, there is still hope. You know, as we start to end today's sermon, notice Judges 2 and verse 16. We haven't been there yet. In verse 16 in Judges 2. There it tells us, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them." You know, God would always rather forgive than to judge. But if we insist on not obeying God, we should be afraid. You know, after all, what God has done for America, how can we turn our back on Him? You know, as we see things today, we need to pray for national repentance, knowing that that was a week or so ago, that was happening. And it's something that needs to happen more often. And God's looking forward for that to happen. So with that, I'm going to leave that for your thought and turn services back to Mr. Fleming for the closing song and the closing prayer. Mr. Fleming.